on all the subjects. Okay? Now, that's what's under attack in America today. Right now, to the point people can't even tell men from women.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And again, whether you think that's good or whether you think that's bad, it is a fact. Okay? So, they can't tell what the difference is. The other thing is, the very Bible's under attack. Now, three presidents of the United States were what we call deists. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and John Quincy Adams. Now, what is a deist? You know what a deist is? You about that? That was a good question, though, Tara. No, and don't ever be afraid to ask, all right? So the question, what is a deist? A deist is someone who knows there's a God, but he's also a rational thinker. So what he believes is that God made everything and then just left it alone for chance and happenstance to take over and run everything. God hasn't been involved since he started things, okay? That's what's called deism, okay? And again, John Adams, a great man, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, one of my favorite presidents as far as personality, like old curmudgeons. But the thing is, you know, that's how they thought. So if you walk up and say, you're an atheist. No, I'm not. They can honestly tell you that. But there wasn't much difference between them and an atheist when it came to prayer. And then they thought God was going to listen to any prayer. Okay? Now, the thing is, that's what actually took over fundamental seminaries about the Bible. If you'd asked the average preacher 40 years ago, is the King James Bible inspired? They said, oh no, only the originals were. Then God left it alone. He hasn't done anything with it since. Now it's just happenstance, and the Bible's out there, and there's different mistakes here and there, and everything else is just translation problems. In other words, it's deism in the seminaries. And what did that do? What it did is, in one of the most crucial times in American history, with everything changing, the churches lost one of their points of GPS. That they had an exact Bible. That they could trust what the mind is, what the heart is, what the soul is, what the spirit is, and every single word knows exactly that. And fortunately, we live in a day and age where they're waking up again and realizing, no, God has never let go of the Bible. There's never been a time when God just left this Bible to drift down the ocean nobody knows where it wants, okay? And the proof of it is, read a King James Bible. It'll read. What could the originals do this one couldn't?
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Anything that you can ascribe to the Word of God, this book can do. Now that's what they're carefully taught. Okay? We have a missionary we support who calls me a runaway for that. Alright? And again, he just doesn't know. Somebody went in there and miscalculated one of the points of his GPS. Okay? So he doesn't have that thing right in his head. Does that make me his enemy? Not in any way, shape, or form. Just something that one to all men teach, okay? Those that oppose themselves, okay? One of the worst things a preacher can do is not believe every word in his Bible. Let me ask you a question. If this book did have mistakes in it, how would we know if they were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if we had one preacher sitting on this side who said, no, the Bible was never inspired, even in the originals, and we had one over here who said, no, the originals were inspired. What would they recommend for an exact scripture? Neither one could they? Could anyone come up here? Could either one of them come up and show you where the mistakes were? No. So what's the difference between their thinking? There's no practical difference. Each one of them would tell you, well, you don't trust any particular Bible, okay? Trust our commentaries. Okay? Trust our opinions, okay? They become the final authority. It's what they do. There's no Bible place that you can trust anywhere. Then you'll have some of them say, well, we think it's the original Greek or Hebrew. Huh. Then why don't they learn it? You realize there's people who've gone down to Mexico, and Kevin Sheridan, some of you know him. He went down to Mexico. He gets jobs now because of his ability to speak. He worked for Amazon for a long time, working in the customer service because he can talk Spanish. Like that, okay? They think in Spanish. You dream in Spanish. You can do that, all right? We have immigrants come to this country. They learn English well enough to speak and talk and watch your television. And then some preacher tells her, well, I think only the Greeks inspired it, and he's too dog lazy to learn the language. Okay? Does he really believe that's the Word of God? No, he doesn't believe it's the Word of God. If he did, he'd learn the language, wouldn't he? I don't think, and I'm not talking 3 years. I went to so-and-so college, and for 3 years I studied Greek. Anybody ever know anybody took 3 years of Spanish? Yeah, they really got the language down, don't they? My son Timothy took 5 years of French. If you sent him to Montreal, he'd starve. All right? Yeah. You know? But, and again, and he got good grades in it. That's the bad part. So these guys go, you know, they go and take 3 years of Greek, and they can write the alphabet now. Ooh, we're so proud of it. You realize when you read John Quincy Adams' biography, he could not get into Harvard the first time he tried because he had to go talk to the president in Greek. And the president didn't think his Greek was good enough to let him come in and start freshman college. Okay? Now, don't tell John Quincy Adams that your preacher's had 3 years of Greek and knows Greek. Okay? All right? They don't know Greek. And the thing is, but they think you're stupid because you think English is right. All right? But if I really believed only the Greek was that, I would learn that Greek. Which one of you mothers, if one of your children was kidnapped, and the only way you could save them was to learn the Greek language, is there anybody here that wouldn't just be night and day striving with all your heart to learn that language inside out? These people believe they're called to preach the Word of God. They won't do that. Right? You understand there's something wrong there? Okay? But again, what's happened? During the most critical period in America's history, the preachers were neuterized. Meant to be, I'm not sure what, neutralized. Neuterized, okay. Right? But they were neutered. They were neutralized. They were put aside, okay? So that the very critical things that they're supposed to be getting into and dealing with, it's one of those GPS signals that's not working right now. It's not coming in. They can't make, their minds cannot come up with the conclusions they need to come up with as well as a man that all his GPS signals are working. Okay? So what God's constantly trying to do is take the Bible and to purify your heart, okay? But he's also trying to refresh your mind. Refresh it, okay? You know, if your computer is doing a goofy thing, what's the number one thing to do? Reboot it. Okay? And you realize, in most cases, that works. Okay? Unless I've been working on it first, then it won't work. All right? But it's just amazing how often. You know, every once in a while, I've got an iPhone 11, and why would that app work? And shut it off, turn it back on, it all works again, okay? You know, and it's one of those things where it's the renewing of your mind the Apostle Paul talks about. Allowing the Word of God to go in there and challenge everything you believe. And you want to know something? If what you believe is the truth, it won't hurt to have a challenge.
Right?
Sometimes it will only make what you believe more firm and strong because that's what you have.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
Now, another way, and we're going to deal with this somewhat on Sunday at greater depth, because we're going to go into this. I've just finished reading Alec Berenson's book, Marijuana, What You Need to Teach Your Children. And I got the book in 2 days ago. I spent all of yesterday reading all but 50 pages and read the last 50 pages this morning. I made up my mind I'm going to read this book in its entirety. And for those of you who are stoners in the 70s, for those of you who are stoners in the 70s, you know, we go ahead and get a little of that, you know, stems and seeds that you don't need, you know, and, you know, you hit a little bit of that thing or whatever. It was about 2 to 4% THC. Now, if you were to go down to the Cuba reservation when it's all set up down there, it's going to be 25% THC. Okay? It's not even close to what stoners had in the 70s and 80s, okay? It's a completely different product. Number two, CBD oil has no hallucinogenic properties. There's nothing in CBD oil that could get you high. You can take a gallon of it, it wouldn't get you high. Somebody said, see, they found medicinal purposes in it. No, a marijuana being sold today because of all the THC in it doesn't have the CBD in it. Okay? So people are saying, oh, I'm good CBD, it's a good thing. Say, well, it's good for medicine. You know how it became good for medicine? Because the city of San Francisco voted it was. You know what else they voted is good? Want me to give you a list of things? Okay, that they voted, that was the first people to do it. No doctors said it was. The city of San Francisco voted that it was. And then people said, well, if it's medicine, it can't be dangerous. All right, and that was the thinking, and it began to change around the United States. Now, let me give you an idea. Texas probably has the least amount of people, statistically, that smoke pot. Only 6% of its people said we got high in the last year, okay? As compared to Colorado or Oregon, which is over 33%, okay? So, no, 6% in the last month, 33% in Oregon, Colorado, 6%. But Texas is unique among states that when someone is arrested there, they test their blood and they make a record of it, okay? Most states don't do that. In other words, you're arrested, we don't care what state. You've done the crime, all right? We're going to nail you for that. Of the 172 children who died by child abuse in 1 year in Texas, one-third of them were high, their parents were high in pot when they did it. In other words, there's five times as much chance of killing your children through abuse on pot than if you're not on pot. You realize if young men smoke marijuana, there's a 9 times increase in their violence. Over and over and over again. Australia's measured it, New Zealand's measured it, Colorado's measured it. They measured it over and over again. 9 times as much violence in young men that smoke pot. Why? They get the noise. Paranoid. Okay? They begin to act different. And they commit violence. 9 times as much. Everybody said, well, it'll cut down on opiate addiction and opiate deaths. No, every state that is that has legalized it has had an increase in opioid deaths. Every single one. Well, it'll cut down on crime. No, there's actually more killing over selling marijuana in the states where it's legal now than before. Why? Because the state taxes it and you can grow it at home. You can't grow tobacco at home. You can't grow, you know, good whiskey at home, but you can grow marijuana at home, and so people are still selling it, and it's easier to do because you don't just get busted for having it, and there's actually more crime and more killing over pot than before it was legal. Okay? Well, what did they do to America? They put the wrong facts in there, didn't they? That's contrary to everything you heard, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay? You know what it was believed in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s? That the banning of marijuana was a racial thing because it came from Mexicans. But you want to know something? Mexico outlawed it 17 years before we did. Because they saw the destruction it was doing to their nation.
That's right.
Okay. So the point of that, oh, by the way, as far as for pain, do you realize all the studies on pain only compared it to a placebo? Nobody ever compared it to ibuprofen. Nobody ever compared it to Tylenol. So in other words, my foot hurts. Smoke a little dope. This guy takes a little placebo. Well, it felt better with the dope than the placebo, all right? So Australia did a study with 1,500 people over a long period of time with pain. You know what they found out? That initially it stops it, but over the long period of time, it makes the pain worse. Makes it worse. Why? Because dope heightens sensations. It heightens it. What's your sensation? My sensation's pain. Okay, so what's it? It's like there are two things that marijuana has been proven to help with. One of them is nausea from chemotherapy. Number two are spasms from muscular, not dystrophy, but the other one there, muscular sclerosis. Okay, those are the only two things medically that has ever been proven to help with. Nothing else has it ever helped. They say it's medicine. Ask anybody who's been given a medical card in the state. If they have to get antidepressants, the state gives it for free. If they need penicillin, the state gives it for free, okay? If they need marijuana, does the state give it for free? No, they charge you huge money for it. Why? They're not so stupid. Yes. They know it's not medicine, okay? This is just a big corporate takeover of America.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is a big corporate takeover to get fools to go ahead and get involved in that stuff and mess their lives up. And by the way,
there it is.
You are four times as likely to have psychotic breakdowns on marijuana than anything else. What are psychotic breakdowns? Thinking devils are attacking you, hearing voices, okay? All that kind of stuff. Four times as likely. Over and over, every study done found this four times as likely. It's actually driving young men and young ladies crazy. It's making them mad. Hearing voices, hearing things of that sort. Okay? Well, we live in a society where GPS now has been told it's okay. Hmm. I want your minds to be what the Word of God says to teach you. Okay? Now, I don't think my deacons will have a problem when I'm going to ask them to do it. I'm going to ask them that until July, when this church can have a formal meeting quarterly, that we consider smoking marijuana incompatible with membership. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, I think so. All right. Does it make sense to you? All right. In July, we'll affirm that. Now, again, I've had people in here who drink. Have I ever told any of them they couldn't be here? Never. I want you here. I want you listening to the Word of God. What I don't want is you make raising your hand making decisions on what to do with God's money.
Right.
Alright? That's what I don't want you doing. Alright? I've had a couple of people over my years here that I went to them quietly, not a lot of drumbeat, and said, look, would you just take your name off the rolls? Not because you absent, not because you had a breakdown and drank one time. Okay? I've had somebody come, so-and-so, I saw them drink at so-and-so place. Well, that's disappointing to me. Okay? But I'm not about to go out there and purge people off of church rolls, all right, because they gossiped one time or they took a drink. I don't do that, okay? But if you come to me and tell me that you think it's okay to drink, no, I don't want you to be a member of this church, okay? I don't mind you attending here. In fact, I encourage you to attend here. I'd love to see God change your mind on that. Okay? I love to see God work in your life and take care of that. If you come to me and tell me that, no, I think marijuana is okay. And now, let me tell you something. If you're nauseated from chemotherapy, and your doctors try other things and he recommends that, that will not affect my thinking. I hope it doesn't affect the deacons, okay? And if you have spasms from multiple sclerosis, and you tried other things, and that they don't help, I hope that doesn't affect anybody's thinking on that, okay? And if the doctors find anything else that's solid, solid science, all right? Not something because Hugh Hefner and normal, you know, said, hey, this is the way it's going to work or something, all right? And by the way, that's who the major pusher in the 70s, 80s, and 90s for marijuana was Hugh Hefner, all right, of Playboy Magazine. An organization called National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, normal, okay? And he won. He won. Okay? I'm not sure exactly when, but here pretty quick, you better go run up the reservation by tax-free marijuana. All right? And take pills, pure THC. And you can take those things. And what you can't do is take it with a clear conscience and believe that it's healthy for you.
That's right.
You can't take it with a clear conscience and believe that it's helping you in any way, shape, or form. Okay? It's hurting you. It's making you into something that God never designed or wanted you to be.
Right.
And it will destroy your children. You want your children destroyed? Number one, let them see you with pornography. Let them know that you have pornography in the house. Okay? Let them catch it sometime. You want your children destroyed? Drink in front of them. Want your children destroyed? Let them know you smoke pot. Okay? Want them absolutely destroyed? You can destroy it. Absolutely destroy. But what you won't be able to do is do it and have this preacher's mouth shut. Okay? And I'm going to say something about it. Now, Sunday, we'll go into some more things and just dealing with the mind and how God works with it. We're going to try to look at some things in the Bible and such and understand a lot of what's going on today. But for now, well, let's just, we'll go ahead and have our two meetings, and so we can shut this down.